Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We bring him in now, our buddy that is the pre- and post-game host. Also, I get a chance to hear his tones every now and then, calling innings in Chicago Cubs games. Yes, I do listen. Zach Zabin now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Zach, how you been, pal?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. As a Brewers fan, this sucks. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I heard you say that you think that the Cubs are in the Brewers' heads. I would look at it from a completely different standpoint because, you know, you head into that game last night, and no one's done a better job against the Brewers than Jose Quintana going back to late July of last year. And yet you finally get through after 26 consecutive scoreless innings that Quintana has set down the Brewers. All of a sudden you break through, you hit those two home runs, you put yourself in a position to win. But more so than being in somebody's head, I just think last night's game shows you the kind of baseball you have to play in the playoffs in order to win. If you want to be a good team and take that next step, you just can't make the little mistakes. For example, Ryan Braun had those two phenomenal defensive plays, robbing the home run, and then that great play earlier in the game where he came in and made that sliding defensive grab to rob the Cubs of a base hit. But on the play in the eighth inning where Hayward smashes the ball to right field, where the Cubs ended up tying the game, you can't cut off that ball. You have to understand the situation that's taking place during the game. And I understand that, you know, he's not the most experienced first baseman and he's an outfielder by trade, but those little things matter. So the game is now tied. And let's go before that, where you have the sacrifice fly that takes place, where Ben Zobrist tags up from first base to get to second. Those little things you normally don't see happen, but when you make those mistakes, what it does is it allows a team that has championship DNA, and the fact of the matter is that's what the Cubs have based on three consecutive playoff appearances and a championship in the middle there. You know, when you have a team that's been through those types of situations, they're going to pounce when you give them a little bit of room. And I think that's what you witnessed last night, more so than, you know, someone being in somebody's head.
Now, you and I both know in football, you can get angry. You can, you know, take a swing at the guy across from you. You can do something in some way, shape, or form to change at least your situation. Baseball's a different animal. You can't just say, I'm going to hit the ball harder or anything like that. So, and I've asked this to teams before that have had winning scenarios, specifically in baseball. So, Zach, with all the experience you've had, how do the Brewers then figure out how to win championship-style baseball? Go back with what the Cubs went through, because the Cubs went through something similar, and then all of a sudden everything clicked. What needs to click?
I think you heard Ryan Braun say it at the end of yesterday's game. And they understand that they made mistakes, little things. You know, it's not the stuff that you talk about when you see the highlights on TV after the game, or anyone who's watching the highlights via social media. Those are not the plays that turned around yesterday's ballgame. It's the stuff that I just mentioned that you're not going to see on social media and you're not going to see on the highlights. It's once you learn to limit that. See, the difference, and you were talking about football, the difference in football is you want to limit your mistakes, obviously, in any sport that you play, including the highest level of football. But the difference in football is that even if you make a mistake, you can just go out there and make a play if you have superior talent. It's different in baseball. No matter how good your talent is, if you give anybody extra opportunities over the course of a game, chances are a good team's going to take advantage of it, and that's what you saw yesterday. You just have to limit the mistakes. You have to play as close to flawless as you can in a game where you're going to see a whole bunch of mistakes. But the teams that limit those errors that don't count as errors but clearly impact a ball game, if you can limit that, you put yourself in a position where you can win and win a lot and take your game to the next level.
In that clubhouse, do the Cubs, what do you think the view of the Brewers is?
I think there's respect for how good the Brewers have been this season. There's a ton of respect for that bullpen. I think there's great respect for some of the sluggers that are on the team. I just think when I look at the Cubs, I know they don't talk about this publicly, but I think when I look at this Cubs team, you know, they're in first place now, and they haven't even come close to scratching the surface of what they can be. They have not gotten major contributions from the two big starters that they signed in the offseason. Yu Darvish, who's been on the DL twice and hasn't really done much when he's been on the field. You know, Tyler Chatwood, who's been scuffling and trying to find his way, hasn't really been the major contributor that they hoped so far this season. Then you start to take a look at the fact from an offensive standpoint, you know, they've yet to go through one of those stretches that you've become familiar with over the last few years where both Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are red hot at the same time. And when that happens, the Cubs become a lethal team, as scary as any in baseball. That hasn't happened yet. And I think the things that have surprised me so far this season is the fact that the Cubs, from a bullpen standpoint, have been right there near the top. I think last night you saw two of the top three bullpens that you have in baseball. And then the other thing that has impressed me is the renaissance of Jason Hayward. I don't think anyone expected that coming in, but you know, now he's riding a six-game hitting streak, hitting better than 400, has a home run, seven RBIs during that stretch. And what a dynamic he would bring to this ball club if he can keep this hot level of play going for most of the season. This was a guy who was hitting primarily seventh or eighth for most of the season, then came off the disabled list after suffering a concussion in St. Louis earlier this year, and all of a sudden has just gotten it going from an offensive standpoint. And I think it started because his approach changed. He was going the other way, working with the new hitting coach, Chili Davis. And then once you start going away, pitchers start to come inside on you. That's what you saw last night in the eighth inning. He was able to pull that ball to right, tie up the game, and then had the big hit to put the game away in the 11th inning. If he can bring that dynamic on a consistent basis to this lineup, there's no telling what the Cubs can do this season.
Talking with Zach Zabin, pre- and post-game host with the Chicago Cubs Radio Network as well. And, boy, Hayward really has started to come on. Not only is he getting hits, you had just mentioned it there, he's giving you big hits in big moments. And if you get that guy going, this was a guy that people were talking about trying to package up last year and get rid of because of his offensive ineptitude. And all of a sudden, he's just kind of figured it out. About the same time, the team itself has started to figure it out. What is it now? 13 in the last 17 games or something like that, they've been able to win. And watching this Cubs team heat up as the weather begins to heat up, once the bats come to life, is there anything that can put that team away?
Yeah, I mean, again, you always worry about injuries, but it's a good baseball team. I think that's the biggest challenge that's facing the Brewers going forward, is that the Cubs are a really good baseball team, a team with big-time experience. And you're talking about a young core where most of the guys have grown together now. They're in their mid-20s. You're not talking about an old team, a team that has very good starting pitching. I think one of the big surprises this season has been the lights-out performance of the closer, Brandon Morrow, at the tail end of games, and you know the bridge guys getting from the starting pitchers to Morrow. And from an offensive standpoint, I mean, without even scratching the surface of what they can be, they're near the top in terms of all the important run-scoring categories. So when you start to take a look at that, yeah, it's a pretty special thing. And you understand why the Brewers went out of their way to make some of those big moves that they made this offseason. You know, Hader reminds me a lot of the impact that Andrew Miller had on the Cleveland Indians when they went to the World Series back in 2016. I don't think he did anything wrong yesterday, but you wonder psychologically, this is where I do think it's important. From a psychological standpoint, you wonder the Cubs being able, because he's not really pitched a lot against the Cubs this season, you wonder what that performance yesterday by the Cubs, and it might even be a thing that didn't count. You remember when Anthony Rizzo fouled one into the upper deck in right field, You wonder if stuff like that can play a role mentally going forward with such a young player.
As this season winds on and the Cubs continue to play good baseball, the Brewers continue to play good baseball, the fact that these two teams don't meet in September, and I had asked Adam McAlvey, who covers the Brewers, this a little while ago, but let's just say the opposite side of the coin. The Cubs do get the next game or two against the Brewers. What then is that level of confidence going into September if this thing comes down to the wire and these two teams are still battling? Or let's say the Brewers get the next two. Does it get into the Cubs' head that, maybe this team isn't the easier stepchild that we thought they were, and this is a competitive thing, and suddenly we're back on a different playing field? How important are the next two games in this series?
I think they're always important. I think that's why I don't worry about when they're played because they're still important. It's a divisional game. You're going head-to-head against the team that you know, in all likelihood, you're going to have to beat if you want to win the division. So, yeah, I know it's June, and I know some people were poo-pooing this, at least in uniform yesterday, on both sides, you know, because it's early on in the year. You don't really want to go overboard with a game in June. But when you consider the opponents, I think it is important, because what's the difference if the game is in June or in September if you know that's the team that you have to beat to win the division? So, yeah, these are very important games. And I think last night anyone who was in the ballpark understands what I'm saying, because there was a playoff-like atmosphere. It did not seem like some sort of regular season game that you would play in June. It did have a little bit of extra something to it, whatever you want to call that something, and I think it played out that way. It was a very well-played game, and then in the 11th inning, the Cubs were just able to break the thing open.
Zach, it's always a pleasure to chat, pal. Keep doing what you do. I love listening to you, and then we'll talk again down the road, okay?
Bill, always appreciate it. Take care, my friend.
Always, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.